So we're going to talk about love this morning, and it's really been in my heart. We've been talking a lot about family this last few weeks. We've been looking at family and what family means, and this morning I want us to continue to look at love. We looked at three different aspects of love last week, which included sacrifice, forgiveness, and then, you know, just being there for each other, pouring out our lives for each other. And I want us to continue to look at this morning and look at it in the context of love. And the thing that's been really overwhelming me this last few weeks, and just even the last few months, and it's hard to get away from it, is God's unconditional love. This idea and this reality that we all live in, if we know Jesus this morning, of his unconditional love. Imagine a love that knows no limits, that's not based in any conditions. Imagine a love that says, doesn't matter how you love me, my love for you is never going to waver. That is an extraordinary love. And that is the love that the Lord has got for us. And the thing that keeps going round in my heart, the thing that keeps going round in my head, is how do I take that love that the Lord has and that I know that's in my life, and how do I extend that to everybody else? Because that's really difficult. It's really hard sometimes to love people because of the responses to us, because of the way they react to us, because of the things that they say, because of the things that they do. And yet the Lord just continuously loves us. I mean, before we could ever even love him, he loved us first. He's that good. And imagine meeting a person that says, no matter what you do from this day forward, my love for you will never change. It's a pure, it's a whole love. Now, there's nobody that could really say that hand on heart and truly mean it or know the true reality of it. Jesus is the only one. And yet for us this morning who are alive in Christ, who know God's forgiveness, who know Jesus as Savior, we know the reality of that. That Jesus says, I've loved you from the first moment I saw you, from the first moment that you came into my life, from the first moment that I came into your life, my love for you was constant and it would never change. And so he loves us with an unconditional love. And my heart this morning is this, can we, or how do we get to a place of extending that love to each other? Because I know if we can do that, we become more like Christ. We're there to encourage each other more. We'll build each other up more. We'll help each other more. And it's tough seasons and difficult stages of our lives. We'll help people to get through. Sometimes when we're going through a difficult season, if you've been through them in your life, you're just about clinging to your faith. You're just about going through. Sometimes you even question, is God even there? Is God even real? Man has been questioning that from the beginning of time. And yet for God, he never fails. He never lets us go. As Nathan has already shared this morning, fits in perfectly with what we're going to say in just a few moments. He's always there for us. His unconditional love. I want us to look at Ephesians 3, if you've got your Bibles this morning. It's Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at three different verses here this morning, 17, 18, and 19. I think this is incredible, just to show you the love that God has put into our hearts. It says, I pray that you, Paul is praying for us. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so inside of us, in simple terms this morning, this is hard to get our heads around, but the reality of it is incredible. We have an earthly love, but then when Jesus comes into our lives, suddenly we now have access, or suddenly we've now been filled with an incredible God love. An unconditional love lives inside of us. It says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. Imagine that. Even in my thoughts, when they're not that pure, even my actions, when they're not that good, Christ still lives in me. Christ is there. His unconditional love is inside of me. And the things that we're going to look at again and again this morning is that first line where it says that we're rooted and established in love. He says that you being rooted and established in love. This is not our doing. This is God's doing. This is what God has done for us. He's taken us like a tree that was maybe planted. I mean, Psalm 1 says this. We're like a tree planted by the streams, the waters, the streams of life. And everything that we need is right there. But before that, we were like a tree planted somewhere else that didn't have what it needed. We were always running out. The resource wasn't there. The source wasn't there. We didn't have the sustenance that we needed to fully grow. I mean, we were dead, in fact. Bible tells us, Ephesians 1 and 2, at the very beginning of Ephesians, tells us that we were dead in our sin and we had no hope. We were totally dead. Totally dead. And then Jesus comes and he makes us alive in him. We go from darkness to light, from dead to life. And so just like a tree that was planted with no hope, no life, just nothing happening, no fruit, nothing going on in this life, suddenly the Lord comes and he roots us and he establishes us in him. And suddenly now we're in love forever. Suddenly we have his unconditional love in our lives. And what the Lord is trying to say to us this morning is that it won't just be for us, for our goodness. And of course, we'll get the goodness from it, from being in his love. But that we'll take that love and we'll extend it to the people around us. Extend it to the people around us, which is very difficult. And we're going to look in the next few moments because there's people that are easy to love. Then there's people that are hard to love. But God's dead easy to love because he's always perfect. He never fails, never lets you down. His love never changes. But people's love changes all the time, and I'm going to love you if you love me. But God says, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you anyway because my love is so great. And look at the last part of that verse says, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is amazing this morning, church. We're not being filled to the capacity that we have decided. We're not being filled by the capacity or the chunk that we can break off. But instead, God says, to the fullness of me, I'm going to fill you with love. And so in our hearts this morning, in our lives this morning, the truth and reality by faith is that all the love that we need is inside of us. God's complete full love is inside of us. The love that fills the universe lives inside of me. God is love and God lives in me. And the measure is not a half measure. It's not a three-quarter measure. It's a full measure. And so I have everything I need to love the people around me if I'm willing to do it by faith. If I'm not, selfishness will come back in. If I'm not, me will come back in and I'll spoil it. But God is here this morning and he's saying, number one, God has filled you. He has filled you full of love. And the great news about that this morning, church, is this, is that if God has done it, then it's not dependent on me because sometimes I mess it up. Sometimes I can't make the difference. Sometimes I'm limited. Of course we are. But God is here this morning. He said, I've made the difference in your life. I have saved you. I've brought you from darkness to light. I have transformed you. Trust in me. Just the same as you did before, trust in me now. You have the love that you need to extend to the people around you. And so we're going to continue to look at this morning. Nathan mentioned it earlier. It says this in Romans 8:35. Let's read it together. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, this is incredible this morning. Who can separate us? I mean, in every relationship, in every walk of our life, no matter who we love, no matter who loves us, there'll be times when they fail us. There'll be times when they let us down. There'll be times where there's separation. And separation is one of the hardest things. Doesn't matter what level the relationship was at, separation is still an incredibly difficult thing. Even look for people and their pets that they adore. I mean, when a pet dies, it can be an incredibly traumatic thing because you love that dog or you love that cat or whatever it was. And so in any relationship, separation is an incredibly difficult thing. And yet Jesus says, I've covered that base. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one whatsoever shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Not at all. None of those things. Think what it finishes off with, our sword, death, in other words. Not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. Not even death. And so even in all of those circumstances that we've heard this week on the news, for anyone who's a new creation in Christ, there is no sting in death. There is no sting. We are sad to lose them. We are always sad we miss them. It's a tragedy. If they go too soon, we want them to live longer in all circumstances. But the reality is, if we know Christ, what shall separate us from his love? Absolutely nothing, not even death. Because Jesus is greater, God is greater than anything. Separation is a difficult thing, but God promises that he will never fail us. And so I was looking at some stories. I want to share a couple of stories with you this morning just to try and illustrate the point in terms of separation. I was having a look at the family context, having a look at love, and I looked up a couple of businesses because I thought, well, what do we do in business? Do we treat each other as family? Does that work there? Do we treat each other as team? Do we just pay people more money? Do we say we're not going to give you money? How do we work that? And I looked at a couple of businesses. When we were in America, we got to go to an amazing company. It was called Chick-fil-A. It just sells chicken. It was amazing. If you can get there, you should go. It was tasty. KFC is good, but this stuff was it was really good. It's not good for the body, but it's good for the soul, and it tasted really good. But that company is a Christian company, and they base their values on Christian values. And so what they try to do is they try to bring the family core values that God talks about in his word, and they try to bring it into their business. And so I was reading this kind of article about it, And they were saying them and a couple other businesses in America that are Christian-owned, Christian-run, and they're really trying to live out the Christian ethos in their business and treat people with the right heart. And the interviewer was really interested, wanted to know, how does this work? Do people abuse that? And they started to share some stuff. And they talked about from 2008, 2009, when the recession really hit badly. They said everybody else in their field, everybody else right across America, I mean, this is a company that turns over $1 billion a year. Both these companies turned over $1 billion to $2 billion a year. So they turn over incredible money. So this is just not a small thing. They're on the cutting edge. They're right up there, and they need to know what to do when those crises come. So the board guys prayed. And they decided, could we do it a different way? How could we show love without separation? Because every other company was letting people go. Every other company was making people redundant. They were laying people off. And they said, could we do it a different way? So they prayed about it. They come up with this idea. I want to share it with you because I think it was kind of cool and kind of fun. And it illustrates what we're talking about this morning. And they said, what if everybody in the company took a month's kind of furlough, a month's kind of holidays, and we pay you just a very small percentage of your income, but it'll help us as a company to save money. And they said, we're not going to say that it's to make the company rich. We're doing this simply for the principle of family. We don't want to leave anybody behind. We don't want to let anybody go. They said, if we do that and you do that for your brothers and your sisters in the company, for your family, then it would allow us to flourish as a company. And we believe, because we've run the numbers, that we can overcome this bump in the road. And so some people went to their friends and they said, hey, I really want to do that, but I won't be able to cope with like a drop in my wages. I can't make ends meet. Other people in the company, can you listen to this now? Other people in the company came to those co-workers and said, we can do without that month. We can absolutely survive. We've got savings. We can make it for a month. We'll give you part of our wage. We'll give you part of our wage. Could you imagine on Monday you go in into work and somebody goes to you, I'm going to give you part of my wage? You're like, what? What's the catch? Are you on drugs? You're not feeling well? You'd be like, what is going on? And yet in this company, they said, at my expense, I'd rather give up some of my money if it meant that you could stay. You know what one of the things that company realized is that they went from strength to strength. They said in the 69, 70 years that they've been established, they've never once let anybody go. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible, because they were able to take the principles of God and bring them right into their everyday life, and they proved that even in a workplace, that God's love doesn't separate. And I thought that was amazing. God is here this morning. He's saying, you see, the problem with it is, even in that business, and they share it themselves, whenever you pick somebody out and you say, right, well, we're going to let Paul go because we pay him too much money. If we could get Paul out of here, it would save us a fortune of money. But you know what they realized is that Paul's got friends. And so it might take we might recoup some money from getting rid of him, but there's four or five other guys that love him as a friend, as a brother. So their productivity is going to go down. Their efficiency is going to go down. Before you know it, they're going to want to leave as well. And so it's going to mess up our business. And so they realize that there's something stronger, and there's something about family when we can hold each other together. There's something about love when you can keep it intact. And here's the good news. Even if we've been through separation, even if we've been through failure in our lives, which all of us have to some extent, God is perfect, and he's complete, and he's right there for us. And he's there to hold us, he's there to restore us, and he's there to redeem us. I remember there's a guy that I met one time, Bill Wilson, from New York. Some of the guys were over from Metro Ministries. And I love this story. I've probably shared it before, but it's worth sharing again. And they talked about how they've got the biggest Sunday school, or one of the biggest Sunday schools in America, 25,000 plus kids. They call it sidewalk Sunday schools, where they just meet on the pavements. You know, we call them pavements, they call them sidewalks. And they've got them all around New York, and they tell people about God. They tell the kids about God. But he says one of the big problems that they have is they've got so many kids with so many issues, with so many problems, and they get lots of volunteers. But they said because of the extent of the circumstances that people are facing from the ghettos, from the projects. I mean, when some of the guys were over at the beginning of this year, they said they were coming down a flight of stairs. One of the guys happened to stop for no reason, and then they heard a gunshot. And they said if they hadn't stopped, they would have been right in the middle of that gunfire. Who knows? Maybe they got hit, maybe they got injured, maybe they even killed. And they said because of this situation, because of the circumstances of New York, because of how dangerous it is, people get overcome with fear all the time. And they come to Pastor Bill, and he was sharing the story one night in the Civic Center, and they come to him and they go, Pastor Bill, I don't think I'm cut out for this. I don't think I can make this. I'm just so full of fear. I just don't know what to do. I just think I should leave. I just think I should move on. And God started to reveal some things to Pastor Bill, and he says, God said, and what's happening there is people are getting consumed with fear because of the reality of what's going on. And it's legitimate because there are people that's dying, and the situation's really tough. But he reminded Pastor Bill, like we shared last week, that perfect love casts out all fear. And as he encouraged the guys, he said this, and it was a statement that never left me. And I think it's for us this morning to remember and always to remember that no one quits alone. That even when someone gets down, when someone gets feeling like they should leave, and somebody feels like they should get away, and maybe it's not God calling them, and maybe it's more fear, and maybe worry, and more anxiety. He said, know this, no one quits alone. You always affect someone. You always bring somebody else down because you're a role model to someone. Someone's always looking up to you. Someone's always being encouraged by you because we are the family of God, and together we're going to make it through. And so God says this morning, there's no separation in my love. There's none in his love. Luke chapter 6, let's read it together. I want us to read this. These are big verses that God's been putting in my heart this last few months. I mean, they are huge for the context of this week. It says, but to you, Luke chapter 6, verses 27, but to you who are listening, I say. I think it's really important to recognize this first part of what God's saying. He says, to you who are listening. This is Jesus speaking. He realizes that there's a lot of people that can be here this morning, but not here. He realizes there's a lot of people that came and followed him back in the day, and some people were listening, and some people were just there because they just wanted something, or they wanted to be in the cool crowd, or the in crowd. But Jesus is speaking to back then, and I believe he's speaking just the same to our hearts this morning. He says, but to you who are listening, I say. It's our job to listen by faith. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. We're going to pause there for just a moment. Think of the magnitude of these verses, even in light of this week and some of the things that have happened. We've got to love our enemies. We've got to bless those who curse us. Jesus is saying this morning, whenever we know who we are in him, whenever we know that we're rooted and established in love, then from his love, then we can extend that unconditional to everybody else, unconditional love to everybody else. When we do this, we show that we're truly one of his. When we do this, we show that we're truly one of his. If we don't, we're no better. We're going to read it in just a moment. We're no better than anybody else. But think of the magnitude of those first few lines. It says, do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. I mean, hate is a strong word. It's the complete opposite of doing good. Hate means someone wants to destroy you. They want to cancel you. Being an enemy in the truest sense of the word is, it's like back to John 10:10, where it says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. All enemies, true enemies, that's the ultimate goal. To kill, steal, and destroy from you. To destroy you, to wipe you out. And yet God says, whenever you look like me, and whenever you have my love, you're going to love your enemies. If someone says, he says just in verse 28, sorry, before that, bless those who curse you. Bless those? I mean, when we hear the word blessing in the Bible, what does it mean? It means to give your best. It means to give your all. It means to give them the gold. It means to give them the precious things. Bless them. The complete opposite to curse. And their goal might be to curse you, to counsel you, to pull you down. And yet God says this morning, this is who you are in me when you extend this kind of love. Verse 32, and I feel this hits to our hearts this morning. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Wow. God is looking to take us on a journey this morning into his incredible, deep love. We read at the beginning, what's the heights like? What's the depths like? What's the widths like? His love knows no bounds. And God's saying this morning, you cannot do this in your own capacity. In fact, when you engage your brain in a lot of this stuff, you go, no, I'm not doing that. But whenever we allow the Lord to rule and reign in our lives, and we know that we've been established in his love, then suddenly we can extend that unconditional love. We can extend that forgiveness that's been given to us, and we can start to begin to extend that to other people. But it's got to be through faith, because we'll never do this without faith, because this is just too big. This is just too hard. But God, I believe, just in whatever way he needs to, wants to hit us in the middle of our hearts this morning. Wants to hit us right between the two eyes and go, hey, if we only do good for those that do good to us, what different are we than anybody else? But if we know Christ, surely our goodness should extend past the goodness of others. If we only lend, knowing that they're good to lend back, if we never give away, if we never give to someone who's in need, are we any better than anybody else? But if God is truly in our hearts and Jesus has transformed us, then we are new creations. And then we start to look like Christ instead of our old selves. And God is here this morning and he's here to challenge us. Church, this morning, who is our enemy? I think we can quite easily say and look and go, ISIS is our enemy and people that are against us to kill us are our enemies. But sometimes when we look closer to home, we can find that in our own families, we can have enemies at times. Now, I hope and believe that our brothers and sisters literally are not looking to kill us or destroy us. But there are times whenever we don't like each other or we're heading that direction. I mean, God says you're either for me or against me. I mean, you're either loving your brothers or sisters or you're not. And there's times where we do honestly hold just malice or envy or hurt or anger towards other brothers and sisters in Jesus. And God says this morning, as new believers in Christ, he doesn't want that to be in our hearts. He doesn't want that to be in our family. But instead that we would love our enemies, even if that's our brother or sister at times, for whatever reasons, even if that is. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a person I'm really close to. And yet, for whatever reasons, we get in a place of, they're against me or I'm against them. And God says this morning, I want to challenge our thinking in that. I want to challenge our hearts in this. I feel this morning, church, if we miss the point of loving others, if we miss the point of loving our enemies, we miss the point of the whole thing. It breaks the whole thing because God's love is perfect and complete. And at any point in time, if we crack that, if any point in time that we take a percent out of that, it suddenly becomes 99% instead of 100%, and suddenly it loses its completeness. And God's love is complete. God's love is complete. We can read about it again and again and again, but we've got to challenge our hearts this morning. It only makes sense, and God's love only makes sense when we realize the love that we've got to extend to other people. If we break down those three different challenges this morning, just for a moment, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? I mean, this is a big thing for Jesus to say to us. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? I mean, again, we're used to Jesus just being nice and kind and patting us on the back. But with this kind of question, it's kind of like, whoa, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to get at, Lord? And of course, he knows exactly what's in our hearts. But he's so full of grace that he's able to continuously love us anyway. How hard is it sometimes whenever you had a close relationship with someone and you loved them and then you find out that they broke your trust? You find out that they said something to you. That hits right to the center of your heart. And it does affect your love towards that person. And that's very difficult. And it's in those moments that by faith, we've got to try and maybe even grab it and even pull it and say, God, I've got to get your love in this. I've got to get your unconditional love in this matter because I feel my heart is changing. And yet if we flip the scenario for just a moment, have we ever broken our friendship or our trust with the Lord? Have we ever let him down? I mean, it's a redundant question. We all have. There's no one that hasn't. And yet for him, his love never wavered in those moments. And God's saying this morning, that's what I want you to do in those situations. I want you to put yourself in their shoes and go, could you have done that? And even if you feel that you couldn't have done that, is there a possibility you might have done that? And even if that's not the case, then God, have I ever let you down? And if any of those scenarios ring true, then we've got to change our ways. We've got to look differently. And we've got to say, right, I'm going to love even when they're not loving back. I'm going to do good even without the thought of getting good back. The thing that we're constantly fighting is our selfishness and our self-centered love. I'll love you if you love me. I mean, if you think back to I don't know, maybe when you were 12 or something, you find a girl that you liked, you find a guy that you liked, and you say to them, if you love me, I'll love you. I mean, if you'll be my boyfriend or my girlfriend, I'll be yours. You know, it's that type of thing. And God is saying this morning, no, my love for you is so much deeper. My love for you said before you were ever born, before you were ever known in your mother's womb, before anybody ever knew you, my love extended towards you. God's love is incredible. And he's saying this morning, will you love those who have no intention of doing good back to you? That's a big thing. And yet it's so essential. When I think about the different tragedies and the different things and the different events that's happened over these last few days, and even another local girl that I just want us to put in her heart, her name was Ali. A few of the guys came to pray for her on Wednesday night, and then she sadly passed away, I think it was on Thursday or Friday. And I mean, there's just sudden things happening. But you know what the best thing about that was, if there is a best thing, was that, I think it was the Sunday or the Monday, she gave her heart to Jesus. And so even in those moments, even those desperate moments, there was still incredible hope. But what my heart goes to, and maybe it's the same in your heart, whenever you see these terrible things take place, you just, your heart leaps and your heart jumps, and you're just like, I wonder, did someone tell them about Jesus? I wonder, did someone give them the opportunity to hear? And maybe this morning the Lord wants to put in our hearts in terms of love and break something in our spirits that says it's great praying afterwards and it's great praying, feeling sorry afterwards. That's great and it's genuine and I'm sure it's heartfelt, but it's so much better to extend love beforehand and to share our faith and to tell people about Jesus and to encourage those. Second thing this morning says, we said if you love those and then we said if you do good. Do I only do good for those who deserve it? Which person is going to define our love? I thought about this. I thought about God's incredible love on the cross. He said, in spite of your affections towards me, in spite of your goodness towards me, I'm going to extend my goodness to you. And I thought in these moments, and when it comes to a person in front of us, and it comes to loving a person in front of us, we have a decision to make. Will that the person define how we will love them? Or will Jesus, who has done so much for us, define how we'll love them? How is our love defined in those moments? Because if we don't talk about it now when we've got a chance to think about it and a chance to put it in our hearts, when we get to the situation, when we get to the scenario where someone hurts us, it's probably going to be too late. We're just going to react. We're just going to react from what's in our hearts. The Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The issues of life come from the heart. And so whatever's in our heart is destined to come out. And if we don't build it into our hearts and our lives and our minds now, that's what's going to come out. And I felt like the Lord was saying, challenge ourselves this morning. Whenever someone wrongs us, whenever someone does something against us, do we define our love based on who they are or based on who we are in Jesus? And that's the question for our hearts this morning. Will we define ourselves and will we be defined by someone else or will we stay defined by what Jesus has done in our lives? He has decided and he has done something great. Last one is this. If you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Church, this morning, God wants to encourage us. He wants to remind us. He has given us all this morning. He has given us all. What have we to fear when we give something away? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. The Bible tells us that. We believe it. We know that. Every good thing that's in our lives, our jobs, our cars, our relationships, our finances, everything, we're all good. And yet it's funny, when we get more stuff, sometimes we get self-dependent and we forget about God. When we've got less, we're naturally more dependent on God. And God's saying this morning, don't become selfish or conceited or self-centered or thinking all of this stuff is yours. But when someone's in need, give to them. When someone's in need, help them out. You know what really blew me away? I don't know if anybody saw it, but I was in social media late on the night whenever Manchester happened. And I saw one of these threads come up on Facebook, and underneath this, people just started commenting instantly, going, this is terrible, this is terrible. But in the midst of all of that, people started writing incredible stuff, like, my car is free tonight, if anybody needs a lift, give me a message, reply now. I'm a taxi driver, I'm off duty, if anybody wants free transport, I'm ready to go. I've got a spare bed tonight in my flat, it's really cramped, it's really small, but if anybody needs a bed, you just give me a private message. If anybody needs help, give me a phone call here. And I was blown, I was thinking, whoa, is this a church or who is this? And I would stagger a guess that this was just normal everyday people who don't even know Jesus and they're extending love in a crisis. And so when we read it this morning and go, if you only do good for those who do good, what different are you than anybody else? That's the truth of it right there. It blew me away to see what people are willing to do. And yet sometimes I know that we can be protective and overcautious and be like, no, I couldn't do that, I couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And yet, these guys in the middle of a crisis were like, you can have my house, you can have our rooms, you can have our car. I mean, some people were writing up, you can have our car. I was like, what? This is incredible. And yet, inside of us, God has created incredible human beings. We are made in his image. Whether we know him or not yet, we were made in his image. And God has done incredible things in our lives. It says this in verse 35, but love your enemies. This is big. This is deep. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father has been merciful to you. God's saying this morning, don't ever think that you'll give anything up that you won't get back. You've already been given all you need in terms of the cross and Jesus, but I'm even better than that. I'm just such a loving father. I'm just such a good dad. I'll continue to bless you. Don't worry, son. Don't worry, daughter. No matter what you would give up, no matter what you would lose, even in that crisis in Manchester, if you give someone your bedroom or your bed and they wreck the place, don't even worry. You still did the right thing. I'll repay you. I'll bless you. I'll come back. Don't allow what they did to turn your love to vengeance. Don't allow anything to corrupt the pure love that you poured out on that person's life, on that person's heart. And God is saying this morning, love your enemies, as tough as it is, as hard as it can be, but to do it in his strength, not in your own strength. God is here this morning, he's challenging us, he's encouraging us, and he's lifting us up, and he's saying, I am here to build you, I am here to fill you, and to remind you that you're rooted and established in his love. Last verse this morning is this, Ephesians 4, if we can read it together, Ephesians chapter 4. It says instead, speaking the truth in love. See, this morning, church, we've got to realize that our love has to speak. Our love has to look like something, but our love has to speak as well. It says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its job. See, this morning, church, God has built us as a family who can speak, who can share. And God's here this morning. He says, actually, when we talk to each other, when we pray for each other, when we listen to each other, that's actually building up our love. That's actually building up our body. It's building up our maturity. I want us to think this morning about a family that never speaks. And I really want us to think about that. I think there's a danger sometimes that we can come to church and we get in and we get out. And that's fine. It depends where we're at in the season. Depends where we're at. But there has to be a place where we're there for people and we encourage each other. I mean, I love this church in the context, but really what this is not really church. It's just a gathering of people. We're the church. The Bible tells us that. Sometimes we overphrase it and we call this church and that's all we think about when we think of church. And yet the Bible says that we are the church. We are the temple of the Lord. Everywhere we go, we carry the church of God. Everywhere we go, we bring the presence of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that it's so important that we know our family. It's so important that we speak. You ever been at the awkward dinner table where something's happened and nobody wants to speak? Nobody wants to say anything and you just want to eat it quick and get away. I don't know what you want to do, play PlayStation, get out, play football, or just hit the shops. I don't know what it is, but you just want to get out of there. There's nothing more awkward when we don't speak. And God says, you've got to realize the power of your speech. You've got to realize the power of conversation. Maybe it's to speak to God for someone. Maybe it's to speak to them. Maybe it's to listen to someone. Maybe it's just to encourage someone. Maybe it's to build somebody up. And very quickly this morning, we're going to be done in just a moment. But here's a few things I wrote down. If we don't speak, it's hard to know what somebody's thinking. If we don't speak, it's hard to know what somebody's thinking. If we're not willing to listen, it's hard to know as well. So we've got to be good talkers. We've got to be good listeners. It's hard to say sorry if we don't speak. You see, within family, there's always going to be fights. We talked about it last week. Sometimes we can fall out. Sometimes we can do things we shouldn't. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't. We've always got to be ready to say sorry. We've always got to be ready to say, I'm sorry in a situation. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. We've always got to be ready to forgive. There's something really powerful when we say sorry. There's something really, maybe the opposite, horrible when we don't. It allows something to fester. It allows something to grow. We chatted about this week in Life Group, and we said, how many times have we heard about someone who was wrong 20 years ago, and that person's still been carrying that hurt, that person's still been carrying that pain, but the other person, they forgot about it 15 minutes after it happened. They were totally oblivious, didn't even know, and they were the bad person. They were the one that did the wrong, but the person that carried it for 20 years. It's so important that we talk to each other. It's so important that we've got relationship to talk to each other. You see, we can all talk, but if we don't have the right relationship with each other, you know that's what family's all about. Strong relationships, strong love, so that we can speak truth at times. We can speak, we can say sorry at times, and we can say hope, speak hope at times. I can say I love you. It's really hard to say I love you if you don't say it sometimes. And of course, we can say it and not mean it, but there's got to be a place where we say it. Jesus this morning loves it when we sing I love you to him. He loves it this morning whenever we tell him how much we love him. But you know what he also loves? He loves it when we say it to other people. He loves it when we say it to his family. He loves it when we say it to other brothers and sisters in church and to other people outside. Helen was talking this week about just a friend outside her work who's an alcoholic who nobody really wanted to chat to. He was just lying in the hedge, lying in the nettles or something like that. And she went out to him, give him like a word for today. Potential to transform his whole life. But what motivated her was love, and love has to speak. And she spoke to the guy. She spoke to him, and she even came under some kind of persecution because other people were like, what are you even bothering with him for? What are you even talking to him for? He's just a waste of space. He's never going to change. But love speaks, and love transforms. And there could be a day when everything changes, like in our lives. We were just going along, going along, going along, and then we asked Jesus into our hearts, and suddenly everything changed. Everything was turned around. Lastly, what happens when we do speak? We can lift each other's burdens. We can confirm plans or help people to change plans if they need to. We can build each other up, and we can strengthen each other, etc., etc., etc. Love speaks, and love is there for each other. Can we stand this morning? We're going to finish. I just want to pray for us today.